Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee meeting. And we haven't been with you in about 6 months. We've been working very hard. We'd like to wish you, on behalf of all the members of the Audit Committee, like to wish you a Happy New Year. And as usual, I always ask for your continued success because, as I say, without you, there is no us. So now, Jamie Ross is our secretary. I'm Nia Bediako, the chair. Jamie, kindly call the roll.
Okay, Mary Berg, absent. Tico Tassin, absent. Joe Wanzala, absent. Don White,
present.
Okay, Jack Van Aken,
present.
Okay, Ian Johnston. Ian Johnston's absent. Dr. Evelyn Bethune,
present.
Okay. Jim Stotts. Jim's absent. Sandy Weinman. Absent. Lisa Davis.
Present.
Okay, Lisa. Jamie Ross is present. Nia Bediako is present.
Present.
Ambrose Lane.
Present.
And Carol Wolf.
Present.
Okay, so let me count. So we have 8 members, which constitutes quorum.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jamie. And for our listening audience, tonight I'd like to read our proposed agenda. First is our roll call for 10 minutes. Approval of agenda, 5 minutes. Update from our external auditor, Ross Wisdom, 30 minutes. The setting of our next meeting date, 5 minutes. Approval of minutes, 10 minutes. Is there any new business? And our adjournment time is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Move approval.
Okay.
I second.
Any objection?
Was that Ambrose that moved to up?
That's right. Yeah.
And I seconded it.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, so that was less than 5 minutes. Very good. It's a new year, so everybody's energized. That's great. Okay, Ben Garcia, the Foundation's controller, is on with our external auditor, Ross Wisdom. Ross, are you there? Ben?
He's not in. I gave him a call to tell me. I told him he could come on, so he'll be on probably in about a couple of minutes.
Okay.
But I did notify him and talk to him.
Okay.
So, how you doing, Ross?
Ross,
he didn't come on yet.
He is, okay. While we wait for our auditor, Ben, is there anything you want to tell us that you won't have to repeat when Ross comes on in the meantime?
Did you want to cover anything, approve anything before Ross comes on as far as...
Well, maybe we could set our next meeting date. How about that?
Yeah.
Could I get unanimous consent to amend the agenda to approve the next meeting date while we wait for the auditor?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. Our next meeting date, the in-person PNC meeting will be January 24th through the 27th. So our next, does anyone would like, for the current directors, is there anything that's planned for February that you know of? First, you know.
There may, Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
There undoubtedly will be additions to this PNB committee from the newly seated LSBs. That does not preclude some people from continuing on as listeners and other capacities, but what is that process going to be? And is in the flux of our current election timeline, when would new members from newly seated LSBs be expected to have reps?
Well, that should be completed. Most stations, from my understanding, I think most stations are done, except for I think this is just I and W. I don't know when W is going to be set, but I think ours at I should be ready. In any case, what the way it normally works is that I convene the first meeting after the in-person PNB meeting, and
yep.
then we give notice for elections. So I would say maybe early February.
Yes.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I thought my understanding was the way that this worked, and, you know, this is new for me as well, that at the in-person PNB meeting, which will be in January in Newark, by the way, Newark, New Jersey, yes, New Jersey, we have, there will be the elections, I think, and Don, you can help me, of the PNB directors who will sit on the committee, don't we do our elections, and then from there, the LSBs do their elections, isn't that how?
Yes. That is
Hello,
true.
Hello, this is Ross Wisdom. I'm on the line.
Good, Ross.
Thank you. But I think in terms of the convener, normally the existing chair will convene the first meeting.
Oh, okay.
And then you give notice of elections, and then you choose the new chair or the new secretary. Does that sound familiar to the long-time directors?
Yes.
I won't say old directors. I'll say long-time directors.
Well, some of us are both old-time.
Speak for yourself, Don. I don't fall in that category under any circumstances.
No. Well, compared to Methuselah, neither do I.
Okay. So.
Okay.
For the youngster in our group, I don't know what the story is. How about, let's say, February? Is there any day that's bad for people? Because this we've been doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
I know the BAI fund drive starts the 4th. Then we have that election caucus madness. So we want to do... maybe February 11th. Are Mondays good? Mondays a good day for people?
They seem to have worked.
Right, I think so in the past. Okay. Does anybody object to February 11th? Unless someone wants to make a motion to empower me to choose a date that's convenient just in case February 11th does not work. If someone would like to move that.
I'm sorry. I would move that. I move to do that because I think it's so tentative in that way. I guess we can always poll and see how it will work.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
You're
welcome. So the way it is that we'll say 2/11, unless that's not convenient, then I will do a poll. Okay. Could I get unanimous consent on that? Or?
Sure.
Okay. Hear no objection? Okay, thank you. Okay. Now we'll go to our external auditor, Ross Wisdom. Ross?
Hello.
Hello, Ross. Happy New Year.
Hi, Ross.
Happy New
Year. Hi, Ross.
Happy
Hi, Ross.
New Audit. Okay. Let me speak just very generally first about the progress.
Hi, Ross.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah. Can you get a little closer to your cordless? Or
is this better?
Yeah. Are you on a speaker?
No, I'm on a handheld.
Okay. All right. It's a little louder, but.
All right.
Good.
Is
That's
this better?
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. First, let me begin. First, by congratulating you for having met a quorum and having an active functioning audit committee. This is much better than the past, of course.
Hey!
All right. So it really helps for the organization to know that there is an audit committee that's monitoring things, and it gives me some assurance that the organization is, really focusing on what it needs to focus on now, like the policies and procedures manual and consistency of applying that manual across the organization. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. First, just sort of way of background, to comment on the progress of the audit and comment on the financials. The audit went very smoothly this year with the exception of WBAI, which I'll talk about once I get into the more detailed comments. But across the board at the national office and for the whole organization, the books were right up to date. The staff in the national office was really just really had all of the things that we needed, the schedules, the analytical work. There's just tons of that stuff that we need. And they did a very, very good job with that. So this is really, each year it's gotten better, and this year it was just really, really well done by the national office. I want to comment on that. In terms of the financials, they're not quite finished. We issued a very rough draft a little over a week ago to get initial comments from Bonnie and the staff and to start, you know, checking a few things. And there are some last-minute adjusting entries coming through, which is revising the numbers. But I want to talk generally about total revenues, total expenses, and how it's beginning to look in terms of the audited numbers for September 30th, 07. And then I think very shortly, within a week, we'll have a draft that's a real draft where the numbers shouldn't be changing very much. With all the adjustments done, and that can be circulated to the audit committee as well as to management. And then we can talk again if you want. But generally about the financials, the total revenues are off about $1 million this year versus the year before. However, that $1 million is the year before there was $700,000 counted as revenue for bequest, but these bequests are receivable, and they're still receivable. They haven't come in. So on paper, the organization, you know, obtained a bequest receivable back in September 30th, 06, that year end, and it pumped up the numbers for that year, but it's not cash in the bank, and that estate is just still in the process of being wrapped up, and the attorney for the estate assures us that it's okay and it should be coming in close to the number. We had a little conversation to see if we should maybe change our estimate of what's going to be received by Pacifica, and the 700 is still approximately correct. So that's the major difference from last year to this year. The other one is last year we wrote off some old legal bills that were in dispute from 2001, and then because of the passage of time, because of the statute of limitations, they became no longer collectible. There was a lot of legal bills that were, you know, run up in 2001, and a lot of those were disputed that the organization really didn't feel it should have to pay for those. They weren't really authorized to begin with. That amounted to $260,000 of those bills that had not been previously settled or written off. And so that was written off last year. So that $700 plus that $260 really accounts for the difference. The listener support is about the same. Grants are about the same. The other revenues are about the same in total, so that's similar. However, on the expense side, of course, the expenses do creep up each year, especially from payroll. Expenses are up $665,000. So the net effect of the bottom line is about $1.6 million. There was a surplus last year on paper, again, just on paper, the 1.6, and this year, it's roughly a break-even that we're going to come in. Looking ahead to September 30th, 08, and Lonnie will go into these kinds of numbers in greater detail with the Finance Committee and with the National Board, but I just wanted to give you, you know, by way of background and context where we are financially. Looking ahead to September 30th, 08, the CPB came through with additional grants of $245,000, it's $85,000 each for three different stations. That's digital conversion grant money. We have a friend at CPB and Brian Gibbons, who used to be the Director of National Programming for Pacifica. He said, look, this money's on the table. It's yours if you just make a grant proposal. So that came in and was approved, but it wasn't finalized until October, and the money's going to actually come in the year ended September 30th, 08. So it's on its way, but it's not in these numbers for September 30th, 07. Also, there's a $1.1 million matching grant in connection with the gala fundraiser of which 200,000 has come in and the rest has been promised for the current year, meaning September 30th, 08. And of course, that did not occur in September 30th, 07. So that's not in the September 30th, 07 numbers. But it looks like the organization is shifting a little bit, so it's relying on a more broader base of support from grants and bequests and major donations. And even though the listener support appears to be leveling off, it can make up for some of that expense increases from payroll with other forms of support. So that's the overview on the financial side. And now I want to get into the actual audit results, the audit process, and what is shaping up to be some of our comments that we have each year on the reliability of the internal controls and some of the weaknesses that we found and areas for improvement. I don't know if everyone has seen the audit comments and recommendations from last year. There were 11 general comments, and then there were two specific comments on WBAI and two specific comments on KPFT. I'm going to go through those anyway. So starting with the general comments, last year all expenses should be properly coded by department. There's been a lot of progress in that area, and generally when we came in to do the audit this year, things had already been properly broken down by department, so it didn't have to be sort of redone by national, and that saved a lot of time. And it's also better for the management reports at the station and divisional level to have that done during the year, which it was. So that's an improvement. Number two, bank statements should be delivered unopened directly to management. That's starting to happen, and that is important. It's a very basic control in case there's just things going on that management's not aware of that maybe is not properly authorized, or just it's just a basic control to be sure that the disbursements mainly are being properly done. Number three, separate bank accounts should be established for restricted funds. That has been in process, and I believe that's being fairly well established now. It was just very, very recently done at WBAI, and it's been set up at some of the other stations. And now when they're doing fundraising and they get a check and it's earmarked for a certain purpose, the building fund or what have you, there is an account to put it in, and it can be much better tracked that way and a much better method of being held accountable to the donor who has that restriction on it. So that's sort of partially implemented during the year, and I think now it's almost fully implemented. The next item, all mail should be opened in the presence of two employees and a tally of checks received and made to be later reconciled to both the general ledger and the MIMSIS. That's something that was a major recommendation in the policies and procedures manual. I don't know that it's been fully implemented yet. I think it's started to be implemented at most of the stations. Well, a lot of this is sort of in transition between not having these controls in place and now putting them in place. There should be some monitoring to be sure that they are doing this. The dual signature check policy, my recommendation was I didn't care what kind of a policy it was, as long as you had one. It should be fairly consistent, and that's working okay. But this, for example, one station can be a P, there's only really a one signature function going on over there. It's a small station. It's been impractical for them to always get two signatures. That should be addressed. Maybe, just over certain amounts it could be implemented. At WBAI, they recently changed the check signing authorizations over there, so that's really been improved. So that's also something that's been improved. I don't think it's quite there yet across the network, but it's getting there. The MIMSIS and general ledger reports of listener support should be reconciled on a monthly basis. Nia and I were talking about that earlier. It's only really being done at KPFA, but it's important. It will discover errors in MIMSIS that way, and it's a double check on the general ledger to be sure the revenue is being recorded correctly. We do a global check on that each year on an annual basis, and there is a pretty close correlation between the total revenue per MIMSIS and the total revenue per the books, but it still needs to be reconciled on a monthly basis. Perpetual inventory records of premium should be kept and reconciled to MIMSIS reports monthly. that's still really not being done, and that would give a much better control over the inventory process. Next, physical inventories of premiums should be taken on September 30th of each year. That was done at KPFA this year. It was not done at WBAI, but we came out there a few weeks later and observed it ourselves. So it was done, but it was done a few weeks late, and then we sort of adjusted for that. PRA does pretty good about that, but the other stations are still not actually taking a physical inventory on September 30th, so that needs to be implemented better. Copies of correspondence regarding donated securities, I think that's going up the national now on a pretty timely basis. And credit card chargebacks should be reviewed and approved by the business manager. That's a general comment. And that's being done mostly across the board. Specific comments, I'm going to save WBAI for last, because that's going to take some time. Let me go to my notes just a moment. For this year, first of all, WPFW, we really just had one comment there. They're in fairly good shape. The check requests were not initialed by the business manager. Sometimes they use the form and the name is printed, but they're not actually initialing it, so that doesn't really count as an authorization. And KPFT, as I mentioned before, hello?
Yes.
Okay. KPFT, as I mentioned before, is really using a single signature policy on all checks. That's fine if there's a provision for it, you know, with the manual, there should be some policy about it, whether it should be amounts over, you know, checks over a certain amount should have dual signatures, or if not, then they've got to FedEx them and get a second signature from National or find someone else as an alternate signatory. Only 3 out of the 10 tested transactions there were using check request forms that were properly completed, and that was a recommendation last year, so that's a repeat recommendation this year that they should be using those forms properly. They were making some online payments through online banking, and there was no documentation there to show the approvals for the invoice or a check request, so that still needs to be done, even though it's being done online. That was KPFT. KPFW. The other stations were okay, except for WBAI, and for which we have about a dozen comments. As mentioned a little bit before, there are inadequate safeguards on premiums inventory. The room is open, unlocked. The stocking of the inventory is not in an organized fashion.
Pardon me, Russ?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to write this stuff down. I'm just wondering, will you be sending this to us?
Oh yes, this will all be typed up and circulated to you at the end of our audit.
Okay,
I'm just giving you a sneak preview. And
okay. Excuse
me for being so verbose, but I sort of want to rattle through them and then we can talk about them if you like.
No, sure. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay, so there were inadequate safeguards of premiums inventory at WBAI. That's number one. Number two, they didn't take a physical inventory until we came over there and insisted they take the physical inventory. And then that was a mess, and we finally got it revised. We had to come back twice. Number three, they have no perpetual inventory records, which would really help during the year to keep track of the inventory. Number four, there was an investment account opened up. We're not exactly sure how that account got open because it was just Indra was the only signer on the account, and she should not really be authorized for that. Then Lonnie did come down I think that's still in the process, Nia, of getting that redone properly.
Russ, just for the purposes of this, can you just say the positions but not the staff members' names?
Okay. No, I'm sorry. The business manager opened it up without authorization. And then there were funds placed in that account which were considered restricted funds, but they really weren't. They weren't documented as restricted. They were actually confirmed under audit as not being restricted. There are still some restricted funds. I mean, that account is, the funds are still, all of the funds are still in that account, but for accounting purposes, we have reclassified some of them as not being subject to restrictions, and then there's about $30,000 in restricted funds that were received and are in that account at WBAI. So they're basically misclassified. Some of the funds were misclassified as restricted when they weren't. There was inadequate documentation for restricted contributions. Contributions were received and you know, recorded as restricted without any documentation whatsoever. When there is a restricted contribution, there needs to be at least a writing on the check and preferably a letter accompanying the check indicating the donor's wishes. That's important so that you can follow those restrictions. About 50% of the transactions at WBAI are being re-entered by the national office because they're not booking things properly at the station level. Also, the entire time that I have been the auditor for Pacifica, going back to the beginning of 2002, there has not been one bank reconciliation that has been properly done at that station level. It's always had to be redone by National, and that is a chronic problem, and it continues. Let's see. What else do we have here? There was an inadequate separation of payroll functions. The business manager is signing off on both the timesheets and the payroll transmittal sheets. Now, when there is a problem there, again, that is rectified at the national level. The payroll manager at National examines the documents from WBI very carefully, goes through there and corrects anything on the payroll before they're actually submitted. There's an employee timesheet that was submitted without supervisor signatures. They're just, the signature is just blank. Area is just blank on those transmittal sheets, so you don't really know if the payroll is being authorized properly. The check request forms are being submitted without authorized signatures or any signatures. The dual signature was not always used on checks. And it took a little effort on to really go in there and analyze the restricted funds this time. That was, but we did. We were able to go through it fairly thoroughly. So those are a number of comments for WBI, which will be written up. And I do think there is a level of chronic negligence and incompetence in the business financial management and accounting function at that station. So we've had comments on WBAI every year, but it's actually gotten worse this year. Aside from that, though, I think there is generally a sign of improvement in policies and procedures across the network, and there's been a huge improvement in the finances and the accounting for Pacifica over the course of the last 5 years. And everything's really in very good shape, except, you know, there's just no real consistency and no real level of good level of bookkeeping done at the station level at WBAI, and it has to be basically redone by National every year. So those are my comments, and I'm certainly open for questions.
Okay. All right. Should I?
Don White.
Okay.
Could you send this back to me at some point? I'm going over my notes.
Okay. That's Don, Lisa, anybody else?
Jamie.
Now? Don, Lisa, Jamie. Okay. I'll take through the time. Okay, Don.
Thank you so much for that report, Ross. I have two questions. The first one has to do with reimbursing local station management when they do out-of-pocket expenses and then apply for reimbursement. The board has a procedure for that happening, and it has to be approved by the CFO, I think, and the ED. before that reimbursement can occur. But my question is, have we pretty much eliminated that process at all five stations where management fronts money or does out-of-pocket expenses and then applies for reimbursements for equipment and other things? Is that kind of a thing of the past, or is it still happening? And then I have a second question.
All right. I don't know that I could comment that well on exactly how much that's happening currently. Is Ben Garcia on the phone?
Yes.
Ben, can you respond to that?
Sure. On some of the stations like KPFA, KPFK, we have issued them credit cards for purchases of things like premiums and things like that, so people would not have to do out-of-pocket, or we would not have to go to petty cash to purchase some of these things, because petty cash could not accommodate, again, a lot of the premium purchases and things like that. We didn't want people to have to, again, go to their own credit cards or out of their own pocket to purchase these things. So, again, there was a line of credit applied to those stations. Again, which reduced, of course, or maybe eliminated the general managers or even the business managers having to go out and use their own cash or credit cards.
Who monitors or audits the use of those credit cards?
We do at the national office. We get the detail of all the credit card charges that go through those particular accounts.
And just to let you know, once a year we do spot check. We certainly look through the petty cash and we spot check. We often select an item that's a reimbursement, especially to an officer or we will test that transaction, which means we go through all the documentation, all the way through the general ledger, all to the original documentation and check it out. And I haven't found any problems in that area.
Right.
Good.
Because currently the procedure is we at the national office will look at each charge. We will pay the whole credit card in whole and then bill back the station. So rather than each station, which as we did in the beginning, applying the payment for their portion to the credit card, that became a problem only because if a station was late, then we had to deal with that. So the national office funds the amount to pay the credit card, but then it applies the bill back to the stations that had incurred the expense, with the detail, of course. And then, of course, we'd have to get copies of any expenditures that they went through and that they were questionable, again, because we had to audit it on that level, too.
Great. And I just one second question. Some of the directors especially are aware of some possible civil suit expenses, both in the areas of legal fees and settlements, without going into what those are about or the merits of the cases and so on. Ross, are you at all involved in auditing the contingency of where monies will come from if settlements are or judgments are rendered against the foundation or the local stations?
Okay, well, you're talking about what's called FASB 5, which is accounting for contingencies. What we do is we send out a confirmation letter to all of the law firms that have done any work for Pacifica during the year, and they will comment on the status of pending litigation. And they will provide an estimate, as warranted, of a potential liability, both in terms of the settlement cost and or the legal fees to address that litigation. Now, typically what you'll get, both from the law firm and also from the management, Lonnie, for example, would be, oh, that's a frivolous suit, or, you know, we have meritorious defenses, we don't expect to incur a liability on this. Now, if I get that from the attorney and I don't have any evidence otherwise, then normally we don't book the expense for that until it's actually settled or the case has gone on and we really know how it's going to come out. But as of September 30th, 2007, we have to make a judgment call as to whether we need to book an estimate for potential litigation settlement costs or litigation legal fees. I do have a fairly detailed response from one of the law firms, and most of the items mentioned really, you know, if you have a range of possible loss that goes from zero up to, say, 200,000, whatever it is, management feels there's meritorious defenses, et cetera, you're not required to book it because you could be completely successful. Other than, you know, any attorney fees that were incurred as of September 30th, then you don't have any costs in the books for that. But if the attorney comes back and says, look, we really think that the low range on this settlement is not going to be zero. We think it's going to be maybe anywhere between 100 to 300 based on our experience with these types of cases, then we're required to book an estimated liability of between 100 to 300. And, you know, you may go mid-range and book 200, or management says, you know, no, it's going to be closer to the low range, and, you know, maybe we'll go along with a lower number. But you're going to book an expense if you're given that sort of range of loss. We do have some items that fall into that category, and, Ben, that's something I will be discussing with Lonnie. It looks like we may have to pick up some additional contingent liabilities in the range of about, I would say, it looks like about 150 to 200,000 possibly could be an additional expense due to these contingent liabilities. Is that what you were asking, Don?
Yeah, that is what I'm asking. I was just wondering how the contingencies, because we have some civil suits in process, and we don't have a good idea at this point how they're finally going to be resolved, and I was just wondering how auditing enters into that problem. And
well,
you've answered, I think.
Yeah, well, obviously we're not going to be disclosing the status of these litigations in the financial.
No way.
But we will be allowing for some degree of expense if we feel that it should be incurred in this current year. So it looks like this current year, we haven't done that adjustment. That's one of these pending adjustments right now. We haven't done an adjustment yet, so that could adversely affect the financials to the tune of about 150 to 200 for 9/30/07.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Lisa?
Okay. Thank you so much, Ross, for coming out. And again, Happy New Year. I hope everybody enjoyed the holiday season, and I wish everybody a peaceful year. I just have a couple of questions. One's kind of a very simple one. When you said bank statements should be delivered unopened to management, you may have talked about this before, but are you saying that it should be delivered unopened to the general manager, or who specifically?
Yes, it should be to the general manager to a national officer.
Okay. And then just one other thing, if you could just explain just a little bit more, give a little bit more of a synopsis, especially since some of us on this call have different levels of understanding. But when you were saying that the Memphis, and that's a name that comes up quite frequently, that Memphis and general ledger reports should be reconciled on a monthly basis, and perpetual premium reports, I believe that's what you said, should also be reconciled on a monthly basis, I'm assuming with Memphis. Could you just give a little bit more about that process, how you envision that happening? Thank you.
Okay, sure. Pacifica uses a thing called MemSys, membership. It's basically a donor-based database. So that when pledges are made, that's entered on the MemSys system, and you can track what's been pledged, what's been paid against the pledge, and what is still due from that pledge. Now, obviously, not everybody fulfills their pledges. They may pledge in one campaign and then come back and pledge in the second campaign and then come back and pledge in the third campaign, and maybe finally they'll pay the third pledge, and they never paid the first one. So we don't have the donor database system, nor should you have the donor database system, as part of your books. It's a separate system. But there should be definitely a very strong relationship. That's what I mean by reconciliation, if not to the penny, but to a fairly minor amount, between the actual monies that are shown as being collected against pledges on the MemSys system and the actual monies recorded as revenue coming in on the books. Now, KPFA is very good at reconciling that, and they reconcile it all. It's not to the penny, but they can account for the timing differences. For example, if entered on MemSys is paid a couple of days before, a couple of days after it's actually received and entered on the general ledger, you're going to have those timing differences. But basically, they should agree. Also, at KPFA, they have a situation where Sometimes they have a pledge that's really related to an affiliate or something, so it's not related to the books. But those differences are explained. At the other stations, what we do is we do pull off a Memsys report for the whole year, and we look at the total collections per Memsys, and then we look at the total revenue per the books, and the differences are not that significant in total for the year. So maybe they're off 1% for the year. That's not a problem for my audit. But I think it is a management issue that they're not getting reconciled on a monthly basis, so that if there's a problem, you're really not recognizing the problem in time to do anything about it. Okay, on the perpetual inventory, it's sort of a similar situation. As things come into the premium storeroom and then they go out and to fulfill pledges, they're not being tracked on a perpetual basis. So, you know, you start off with 10 items of this book per CD. You receive an order of 50 items. It goes up to 60. You've mailed out 5. You're down to 55. That's a perpetual inventory system. When you have a perpetual inventory system, you can go to your, let's say it's on a spreadsheet, you can go to certain items, let's say a certain publication, and say, okay, we should have 25 copies of this. You go into your storeroom, you look for that, and it should be 25 copies there. So that's, you know, if you have that sort of system in place, you can really tell if you've got real controls over that inventory. Without that system, you really don't know. Now, at WBAI, they actually have too much inventory. In the past, they have over-ordered inventory. They haven't needed all of it. Some of it's obsolete. Some of it is not obsolete, but it's more than what they needed for the last fund drive. So, you know, maybe they'll use it for the next fund drive, or maybe over a period of time they'll take it to a fair, a community event, and sell it. Usually some of them are sold at a, you know, fair value, and some of them are, you know, just sold at a low value just to get them out of inventory. So I did make a recommendation to the station manager at WBAI. I believe they're looking into it, where they could use an outside fulfillment house, and then, you know, that would solve all of these sorts of problems, but there would be some expense for the fulfillment house. So they're looking into that.
Oh, and just one other question that just reminded me very briefly, if I can ask. You said that I thought you mentioned about expenses in general, I guess, across the board being up about. And could you just repeat that number again, what you said about expenses?
Total expenses are up about $660,000 across the network.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Jamie?
Okay, let me just finish writing down that answer.
May I make a comment about the Memsys system?
Yes. Is that okay, Jamie?
That's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that, I mean, some of the things that we could look at, just real quick, are having, like, the development director look at the monies coming in and, again, some sort of form developed that they would designate what that money is and where it should go, then and then give it to the Memsys people, who and then would enter into the Memsys system, and again it would be identified by the development person, who should know where monies that are coming in for a pledge, monies that are coming in for solicitation, etc., and where it should go. That way, I don't know how each station actually designates whether it's left up to the Memsys person who actually enters it in to say, well, this money belongs to this pledge, that kind of thing. I think working with the Memsys person, the development director, should be able to say, I am writing off and saying it belongs here, et cetera, et cetera. It goes to the Memsys person. That report goes back to the business manager, who in turn deposits it but also enters it into the general ledger. And then, again, we can reconcile it from there. That's something we could look at.
Right. Those procedures are detailed in that manual.
Right.
And if those are followed, then there should be no problem. There should
right.
be very little problem with that, right?
We just have to make sure we follow it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. Let's see. Lisa's question actually reminded me of something regarding Memsys. With you said the other stations besides KPFA didn't I mean, KPFA did a good job of reconciling Memphis in the general ledger on a monthly basis, and the other stations basically didn't. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then for those stations, you did a yearly, you got a yearly Memphis report and compared it to the yearly ledger or
right.
the yearly books, and they differed. The difference was about 1% or less.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was for all four other stations.
Right.
Okay. And then with regard to the premiums inventory tracking, is there any station that you feel does a good job at this?
Well, KPFA is better than the others. Well, PRA is the one, and LA, they do very well. That's about it, really. KPFA
okay.
is not even terrific. They're just okay.
Okay. And then the rest of us are somewhere less than okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
WBII being by far the worst.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's my station, WBII. Let's see, and my other question was, with regard to these restricted funds, this was of interest to me because on the finance statements for WBAI this year, they were spending on a line that said, I believe, restricted accounts. And I was never really sure what that was. So I was wondering, could you give us a little more detailed example, I mean, explanation of the story with regard to restricted funds at WBAI? Where was money spent that was restricted, or was money spent that had been marked as restricted and turned out not to be restricted?
No, there was no problem with money being spent. The problem, interestingly enough, was with money coming in and being called restricted when it wasn't. And the money wasn't spent. It's still there in the account.
Okay, so to your understanding, there really wasn't any restricted money being spent at BAI.
I think there was some money. I think remember we had to be, according to the national board, we had to make sure that those restricted funds were to the balances that they should be according to what we thought the restricted funds should be, and that was done from the last board meeting we had. And Lonnie made sure that those restricted fund accounts were up to the balances that they should be according to what WBAI had indicated that these funds are restricted.
Okay.
So we funded those to make sure that they complied with the restricted requirements of those particular funds and where how they should be spent.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that basically makes sense.
But the business manager there was calling funds restricted when they weren't. I guess because then they wouldn't count against central services or something. I'm not sure
right.
why that was done. I guess it's tried to reduce the central services cost.
Okay.
Well,
Jamie? Evelyn, could I get on the stack too, please?
I believe that's all my questions. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Ross.
So do I have Evelyn and who else?
Hello? Can you
Hello.
Hear me okay?
Yeah, it's Evelyn, and then does anybody else want to get on? Okay, Evelyn, go ahead.
Hi, I'm from KPFT, and we have once again, for the second time, we're going to get sort of noted for in a couple of areas. So I'm concerned in terms of whether or not we are putting the fix in place so that it doesn't happen a third time. And so that's my first question. If in looking at the areas where we are not in compliance or borderline not in compliance, if we are working towards and doing the things that we need to do to take care of that.
Okay, let me speak to that. There were two comments last year for KPFT that impressed petty cash procedures needed to be implemented. They have been. There was no problem with petty cash the year before. It's just that they weren't properly doing the petty cash and replenishing it on a regular basis and then booking it on a regular basis properly. So they were, you know, waiting till the end of the year to go through and reconcile it out, basically. So that's been fixed, and the fix was in on that. We don't have a repeat comment there. The other comment we had the year before was that they needed to use check requisition forms And now they've implemented that, and they're using check requisition forms, but they're not initialing them.
Okay.
So all they have to do is get them initialed on a timely basis, and that's yeah. very important at KPFT because you just really have one signer on the check.
Right.
So if you don't have the check requisition initialed by the business manager or the person requesting it, then you really don't have those two authorizations on the transaction, which is a basic control procedure that you do need.
Got you. And yeah, I have one other question.
Can I comment on that, too? May I
comment?
Sure. This is Ben. Yes, we're trying to remedy that because working with the business manager there, we are trying to change their bank account to Wells Fargo, which would give an advantage of a sweep account so they can maximize the interest earned on their money.
Uh-huh.
And again, there we are addressing the signature aspect of that. So again, we are making progress there. I think the slow part about that is, again, needing a board resolution in order to open up an account. It seems like because each time if we go to a different bank or we need a corporate board resolution
right.
to set it up, and that does take
for
time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. Is the board aware that you need that resolution?
No, we're going to go through that now. I mean, either the next teleconference or either just the board meeting at the end of the month, we will address that. And again, it's going to be a matter of setting up. I don't know what the boards would be, whether they would want to address each bank account we open up by the bank's name or whether they want to set up the CFO, the business manager, or the chair are signatures or have the authority to set up a bank account for any of the particular stations.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it much easier to process, if a bank opens up, they want to open up a new account, we just say, okay, the CFO, no name, just, or the general manager, whoever it is authorized to process that and get it through. Then we can just get the secretary of the board to sign it, seal it, and then it's done. The problem before is that when we go through these things, we have to sometimes address each of the banks. Like when we change from the Bank of New York to Chase, we have to say now there has to be a board resolution that says Chase, is a signer, that kind of
right.
thing. Then we get, it gets a little complicated.
Okay.
That's it.
My other question is in regards to the financial reporting that goes to the PNB. On several occasions, we have asked to have notations, some type of narrative or explanation for variances, so that we know what the numbers consist of. Because in many of the reports we get, we've just got numbers. We have no idea what those numbers are made up of. And I don't know if there is a report or something that is generated that would give us that kind of detail, so that we can have a better understanding of the financial position of the foundation, of the stations, what's in the numbers, and know where things are, because we get questioned about it.
Sure.
I'm a little concerned as to how we go about really making it understood that we need that kind of information.
Sure. I think even on the level below that, The LSB should be given financials from the business manager, and any business manager could certainly ask for assistance from the national office as far as getting information from Great Plains, because that's the same general ledger package that we use.
Uh-huh.
Again, they have the detail for all income, all expenses, which, again, we pull from the general ledger package for each station in order to consolidate. So, again, if you want to call it lines, that we add together or consolidate together, each business manager would know the breakdown of each of the accounts in the general ledger package for their station, what the expenses again are, what the income are. They can work with Lonnie or I on saying, okay, this is what I produced for the station. What have you produced for consolidations for the national? And they could work together so when the person meets with the local board, they can say, these are my numbers, this is what the breakdown is, and here they are.
Well, actually, at the local level for KPFT, that is not a problem. We get a pretty detailed financial statement.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the national level, we sit in too many of our in-person meetings looking at projections on the screen and have no idea what those numbers consist of. because even by station, all we have is numbers. And if there are variances from month to month or looking at the annual budget, what those variances are, so that we can do comparisons and really understand what, if it's gone down, if it's gone up, you know, what the income, where it's coming from. Everybody does not have the same financial background that sits on the board.
Sure. But this
really helps to understand what those numbers consist of in order to monitor it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have, we're not getting that kind of detail. And the fiscal responsibility for Pacifica rests with the PNB.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the CFO is in charge of it, the ultimate responsibility for decision-making is with the PNB. And we really need to know what we're making decisions on. So how do we get that kind of detail?
Yeah, I can comment on that a little bit. There are extensive reports that are done in connection with the audit, and from also from Great Plains that go into the report. There's sort of a mapping system that
mm-hmm.
maps every account in Great Plains into the report. So it is very possible to get any kind of report that you want if you want to sort of trace a number from the audit report down to the general ledger accounts
mm-hmm.
and see what composes a certain number. We do that all the time. There's a series of lead sheets that are prepared in Ben's office, and it shows how the numbers are combined to tie into the line item on the overall audit report, so that, you know, if we have a question, we go in and we can go backwards from the audit to the books, or we can go from the books and see how it flows into the audit, that sort of thing. But those are pretty voluminous. I mean, there's a lot of pages there because we're doing, you know, seven general ledgers going into the audit, and each general ledger has a lot of line items which get
right.
combined into one item on the audit report. So, I mean, I can understand you're looking at the audit report and saying, well, I'm not sure what's in this number, and maybe if this number changed, maybe it's one of those components that I'm wondering about. But, you know, if you wanted to go to spot check things, you could certainly get reports on that. If you wanted to look at the whole thing, well, it's going to be kind of voluminous, but those reports do exist. So.
Okay. What I think might be helpful for the PNB in particular is the reports that we get on a monthly basis have a little bit more explanative detail instead of just numbers.
In the form of a footnote,
some type of explanation, especially if there is a variance, from budget to actual or
mm-hmm.
year-to-year budget numbers, things like that. Some type of an explanation for that particular for that line that tells us what that consists of.
I mean, yeah, we can get into a degree of variance, which, like you said, should be broken down as to what makes up that variance because it meets a certain level. Is that what you mean?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because, you know, we sit in meetings and we look at reports, and Lonnie flashes the numbers up there, and he explains it wonderfully. But when I come back to Houston, I need to be able to talk about it. And if I just take my report, I can't do that or any other station. You know, when we take that stuff back home, we need to be able to, when the LSB asks, well, what is that? We need to really know.
Right, right. And I understand, because, I mean, you don't have access to the Great Plains in order to get the breakdown. I understand.
Can I take it back real quickly? Is it okay?
Lisa, just pardon me 1 minute. Jamie?
Yes.
I just need to step away to my front door for a minute. Could you kindly cheer for me? It shouldn't take me that long. I have to go down 3 flights, okay?
Sure. Evelyn was asking a question, and Lisa's on the stack.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm done.
I'll be right back.
I
got my answer. Thank you.
Okay.